And a greeting to all of those joining us through the window back there. And God bless you. We're glad that you've joined us here in this Thanksgiving week. And we're excited because God has blessed us a lot. And we have a lot of time to spend this week in the Thanksgiving chair. Thank you, God, for your blessings. You're here at Holiday Shores Baptist Church. And we're on Morrow Road, north of Edwardsville, Illinois. And I'm Pastor Rob Lemon, and we got folks here that are really special in the sanctuary here with me today. Thanksgiving. I bet you thought we'd be talking about a Thanksgiving topic. Well, you'd be right. It seems the appropriate thing to do. And I wanted to start you off this morning with two verses. And these verses are some of the most difficult verses for me historically in all the Bible. Hard to say, okay, this is what I'm going to do. And I don't know if we're getting anything. Oh, okay, there it comes. I wasn't sure. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 18 is the first one. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. And then Philippians chapter 2, verse 14 and 15, do everything without complaining or arguing, so that you may become blameless and pure, children of God, without fault in a crooked and depraved generation. Now, what do you think the phrase is in those two verses that I struggle with the most? I bet you struggle with them too. Human nature does not like to give thanks. And so in the first one, it would be, give thanks in all circumstances. You struggle with that? Boy, there's times you'd rather yell, scream, and throw things rather than sit in the Thanksgiving chair and say, thank you, Lord. Amen? Amen. That was a little weak. And then in the Philippians 2, he says, do everything without complaining. And I struggle with that one as well. 1 Thessalonians 5:18 actually does say, and everything gives thanks, for this is God's will in Christ Jesus. And just so you know, I checked the word everything in the Greek, and you know what it means? Everything. There's no escaping this one. There's no fine print somewhere. He says, I want you to give thanks in all circumstances. In the whole of everything, express gratitude. In every situation I find myself in, give thanks for it. Now, these are not the only verses in Scripture that indicate that we ought to do something like that. Here's another one. David, the psalmist, I will extol the Lord at all times. And you know, there were things in David's life that sometimes were nasty, but David gave thanks in them. And then in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 20, Paul writes and says, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And then in Hebrews 13, verse 15, through Jesus, therefore, continually offer to God a sacrifice of praise. And when we're sitting in that Thanksgiving chair, that's what we're doing. We're offering to God a thanksgiving of praise, a sacrifice of praise. Is that possible? Can we actually say thank you, God, for everything? All circumstances, all events of life. You know, it's really easy to say thanks in some situations. If I study really hard when I'm in school and I get an A on the test, I can shout for joy and praise the Lord. But you know, if I study really hard and I get a D on a test, that's a lot harder to thank God for, isn't it? If I'm able to buy a new car, I can easily rejoice. But if I'm driving an old clunker and I can't buy a new one, it's a lot harder to give thanks. Or if that old clunker breaks down, it's really hard to say thank you, Jesus. If I make a new friend, I can say thank you and mean it. If an old friend dies, it becomes a lot more difficult, doesn't it? It really does. In that verse, it's the all. You know, the all, give thanks in all circumstances. If it had said some, we could like that. If it said in occasional circumstances, we could deal with that. But every situation of my life, God says, I want you to give thanks to me. How can we do that? Why should we do that? Why must we give thanks in all circumstances? Why must I not complain? Well, this morning, let me point out some things to you. I feel like this is an old lesson, but maybe we just need to be reminded of it. So, why I must give thanks in all things. First of all, there's a master designer at work in my life. Every circumstance, according to Romans 8:28, is working out for my best. There's a master designer at work in my life. Now, if we tend to think of life as just haphazard and, oh, well, I had bad luck this time, then we're liable to look at the things that are happening and go, oh, this is awful, this is bad, this is terrible. And we're liable to do a lot of complaining and we're liable to curse our luck. But you know, for the Christian, that's not the case. Our lives, in as the Bible presents it, I think is a structured set of lessons that teach us about ourselves, that teach us about God, and it trains us in this life for our future in His kingdom, in the eternal kingdom. God is making us. It's His good work that's going on inside of us that He says He will complete. He says here that we ought to become blameless and pure. Do everything, this is Philippians 2:14, do everything without complaining or arguing so that you may, and by the way, I used to apply that to our kids. Listen, this is what the Bible says to you kids. Do everything without complaining or arguing. Yeah, it was a lesson for them because the Bible is written for my kids too. But you know, it's actually for me and my relationship with God. And He's saying here, do everything without complaining or arguing with God. That's the point. That's the gist of this. So that you may become. See, if I stop complaining, I start stop arguing with God, then I start to become what He wants me to become. And He says, I'll become a child of God without fault in a crooked and depraved generation. And so, when I get put into everything, I have to look to heaven and say, thank you, Master Jesus. Thank you for whatever this is to teach me and train me and make me. And we give thanks, and we don't complain. Romans 8:28, love this verse. And we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love Him. That's the NIV. Here's the contemporary English version. We know that God is always at work for the good of everyone who loves Him. You know, there's never one time when we're God's children, where He looks down and says, oh, they're being just cocky today. I'm going to trip them up. I'm going to send something in their lives that'll just mess with them and ruin them and destroy them. No, no, no. God doesn't do that. He doesn't act that way. Even with Job in the Old Testament, you know, that man had lost everything. The whole premise of the thing he went through was, Job is an amazing man, and I'm going to show you how amazing. And so God allows all this trouble to come, and Job demonstrated himself to really be an amazing man. And he showed that he really did love God. Now, he had God also kind of tweaked some things in his life, his attitudes in some area, but overall, Job did an amazing thing. He trusted this God who was at work in his life to do good toward him. And we must too. See, Jesus is the master teacher who doesn't waste material or lesson time. You know, I think back to all the years I spent sitting in classrooms and I've spent my fair share in you know, having teachers stand up there and teach, and I'm back here trying to absorb all this. I know what writer's cramp is. Of course, the younger generation, you're busy going like this, I'd imagine. But there are some teachers I had, they wasted a lot of time. Their lesson plans were just, not that good. They didn't advance me very far along in knowledge and understanding. But Jesus, now, he's the master teacher, and he doesn't waste time in the classroom. And he doesn't send the wrong material, the wrong test. He gets it all right. So when I start giving thanks back to him, it becomes a really profound way of me saying to him, Jesus, I trust you. I know that what you're doing in my life is something good. And so I appreciate the fact that you're doing that, Jesus. Thank you so much. See, I'm trusting him. I'm trusting his sovereignty. Hebrews 12 says, endure hardship as discipline. God is treating you as sons. For what son is not disciplined by his father? God disciplines for us for our good, that we may share in his holiness. No discipline seems pleasant at the time, but painful. Later on, however, it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who have been trained by it. That's what God's trying to develop in our lives. Righteousness, and give us peace because of the way we're living our lives. You know, Jesus always uses the right tools. I'll have to admit, sometimes I don't use a tool the way it's supposed to be used. And I'll admit to you that there have been times when I needed to use a chisel and I used a screwdriver because I was too lazy to go find the right tool, the chisel. And here, amens. I'm sure you guys have done that. There were times when I needed to pound on something and I didn't go find my hammer. I used the handle of a tool. Bam, bam. God, yeah, I see some heads nodding out there. You know. But you know, Jesus always uses the right circumstances, the right tools, the right pressures to produce the right results in my life. So it's not random. It's not just, oh, well, it happened. No, these things are sent to do something in our lives to make us and to mold us. So we go back to Joseph in the Old Testament. And, you know, he didn't know his situation was going to turn really bad that day that he went and visited his brothers. Because you remember, they were really angry with him. And so when he arrives, they said, now's our chance to get back at this guy. This brother who's tattled on us, this daddy's favorite son kid, we're going to get him. And they threw him in a pit, and then he was sold to slave traders. And I think it's one of the Psalms says that they put his legs in chains, and he had to walk 1,000 miles down to Egypt. And yet, you know, when this thing was all done, And this must have been an attitude that he either had from the beginning or maybe it was already, it grew in him as he went along. But he was saying something like this. All right, God is sending me to jail so I can save my family when the famine comes. Now, he was saying that at the end of it because he realized that God had, you know, he had sent Joseph ahead to Egypt. Joseph went through prison and a whole bunch of other things, got elevated then to second in the kingdom, and now Joseph is over all the famine relief and all the food supplies so that when his brothers come down to Egypt, he can take care of them and his dad and everybody associated with his family group. And there must have been some point in there, maybe when his brothers first showed up, I don't know, where he's sitting before the Lord, and he's just kind of numb and filled with excitement because all of a sudden he understands how the whole thing came together. He understood being sold back in the land of Canaan. He understood why the trip the whole way to Egypt. He understood why Potiphar's wife made false accusations against him and got him thrown into prison. And at that moment, he realized, God, you're amazing. You did this and this and this and this to prepare for this. And you can better believe he was shouting for joy for days. He trusted God. You know, early on he didn't know, but he did, and he understood as it went along. I think Paul must have been the same way. He got put in prison there toward the end of the book of Acts, and he was in Caesarea Philippi for 2 years in prison. Then he got shipped off to Rome, and we believe he was there another 2 years or so and possibly released, and then went to some other places as an evangelist. But he must have been thinking in prison or at some point there, you know, God, your plan was amazing. You put me in prison, and look, I can witness to these guards. And there are times where Paul had a chain on his arm all the time, and at the other end of that chain was the soldier. Now, you might have thought that was bad for Paul, but it was bad for the soldier because he had to listen to Paul morning, noon, and night. Paul's praying. The soldier has to go to a prayer meeting whether he wants to or not. Whether he's praying or not, he's listening to Paul pray. And then Paul had his worship where he's singing praises to God. That soldier had to listen. And I'm sure that Paul had the wonderful opportunity of leading many of those really hardened men to the Lord Jesus Christ through his time in prison. And then he also had to realize, you know, God, thank you so much for putting me here because you slowed me down enough, and then your Holy Spirit came and gave me the books of Ephesians and Colossians and Philemon and Philippians. He says, God, you're wonderful. I'm so glad that you know what you're doing in my life. And they had to be filled with joy as they look back. You know, maybe you can look back on your life and you can say with great certainty, boy, I'm glad that happened. I'm glad that God led me that way because I learned some things. I got opportunities that I didn't think I was going to get. One Christian leper in India was heard to pray this. He said, I thank God that he has laid leprosy on me. And this was back in the day and age they couldn't cure leprosy. It was an awful way to die. Because of the lepers, I've been able to lead to Christ. He saw his leprosy as part of God's saving plan. And so he could thank God for it. We should too. Remember Fanny Crosby, the lady that wrote so many of the hymns in our hymnal? She was blind from birth. And the reason she was blind, she wasn't born that way, but a doctor put some things in her eyes right after she was born that caused her blindness. And she said this years later. She says, I have heard that this physician who unwittingly caused her blindness never ceased expressing his regret at the occurrence, and that it was one of his sorrows for the rest of his life. She says, I heard that he was just really upset that he caused the blindness. But she said, if I could meet him right now, I would say, thank you, over and over again for making me blind. Though it may have been a blunder on the physician's part, it was no mistake on God's part. I verily believe it was his intention that I should live my days in physical darkness so as to be better prepared to sing his praises and incite others so to do so as well. That's amazing. You know, you think about it, blindness would have to be one of the most horrible things, I think, to go through. And yet, she's saying, I trust God that he had a plan and purpose, so I praise him for that. And what an amazing amount of trust. So God says to us, do you trust me enough to believe that what I'm bringing into your life is good and will help you and benefit you and make something out of you? And so that's our question this morning. Do we trust the Lord Jesus and the Holy Spirit to bring into our lives the things that are really good, Even if we don't understand them now, we must say thanks for even those things. So first of all, we give thanks because we understand there's a master designer at work. And so we say thanks for the good stuff. We say thanks for the bad stuff, even though it's challenging. But there's another reason. It's God's will that we give thanks. I am commanded to give thanks. You know that what we had in our verses at the beginning? Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will. This is what he wants for us. This is the will of God. One writer said that everything gives thanks is a command, not a suggestion. It's not something we ought to do, but, you know, it's our choice. No. It's not a request, he says, not a when you feel like it or if you have time. It's a command. It's to be done at all times and all things. It's not an option for us as Christians. Now, we've just seen that that's not an unreasonable command, because God is at work in our lives to do some really great things. And if everything is working out according to God's plan for my best interest eternally, why shouldn't I say thanks? I should be grateful. I have somebody so amazing and so powerful and so wise in charge of my life and my direction. Christians, according to the Bible, are really supposed to be different. And giving thanks in everything makes us stand out really different from the world. How many people of this world do you work with, go to school with, you know, have things together with? How many of them walk around going, thank God this awful thing happened, but I think it's going to work out for my good? But you haven't heard much of that, if any of it. It's just not like that. But Christians, boy, when they start talking and thanking God, and people say, how can you thank God at a time like this? Well, it's because if we do God's will, we start standing out. People see that we're different. And you know, whatever I am commanded to do, I can do. You say, it's so hard to give thanks. If you knew what I was going through right now, you'd not preach this message. You'd not tell me to give thanks in this thing. Yeah, no, I've been there. I told you I didn't like this either. But we have to think differently. Whatever God commands me to do, he gives me the strength to do it. Found an incredible statement in the Bible Exposition Commentary by Warren Wiersbe. He says, God's commandments are still God's enablement for those who obey him by faith. Gabriel's words to Mary are as true today as when he spoke them in Nazareth. And he said there in Luke 1, for with God nothing shall be impossible. And Dr. Wiersbe says, I especially like the translation of this verse found in the American Standard Version of 1901. And that verse, in that translation says, for no word from God shall be void of power. Think about that. No word from God shall be void of power. God gives us the strength to do what he asks us to do. And so it's there right now in our hearts. In this hard time, we have the ability to say, thank you, Lord, because he's enabling it. So whatever I'm commanded to do, I can do. And if it's God's will, then I should be doing it. And I'm empowered to do it. Let's think about this from another direction. When I start giving thanks, it spotlights my testimony. It spotlights my testimony. Your thanksgiving, my thanksgiving, makes a profound statement about us. It says that we belong to God. We are in Jesus Christ. It's a technical term, I suppose, but we're in him, we belong to him, we're in his world, and we're different. And he says here, we need to become blameless and pure children of God without fault in a crooked and depraved generation. And it's interesting that only Christians can truly give thanks in all things. And it's because we know there's a God who's brought it into our lives for our good. Thanksgiving is a remarkable God thing in our lives. You know, sometimes in the past we've had people share God at work moments. When you give thanks, when I give thanks, that's a God moment. It's profound because he helps us to give thanks. When we pray, you know, it can be selfish. God, I want this, I need that. They need this, they need that. And it affects us. So praying can be very selfish. It can be a selfish act. But boy, when you start giving thanks, there's nothing. We gain nothing by saying thank you, Lord. And so it's a profound thing that comes out of us. Thanksgiving is a very pure activity. We demonstrate when we're thanking that we're connected to God in a unique way, because nobody else does it. So when we give thanks in all things, we're demonstrating our connection to God and God's power, because nobody else can do it. It spotlights that I have a relationship with God. Philippians 2:15 says that when we do that, we shine like dots of bright light in a crooked and depraved generation. Do everything without complaining or arguing, so that you may become blameless and pure children of God without fault in a crooked and depraved generation, in which you shine like dots or stars in a crooked and depraved generation. You stand out. When you start giving thanks, you stand out. I stand out. It'd be the same thing as if it was pitch black outside and we turned all the lights out in here, so everything's pitch black. The exit signs are down and there's no light at all. Projector's off. It was pitch black in here and I struck a match and held it up. You would have no trouble seeing that. Well, when you and I, as Christian believers, connected to God who told us to give thanks and everything, when we're going through our lives and we're giving thanks, that's how you stand out in your dark world. And people step back and go, "Whoo, he's different." Well, at least they should if they're thinking. They're different. And maybe they'd be interested to know why. So against the dark and gloomy backdrop of this world, Christian who gives thanks really stands out. You want to be that kind of a Christian? Yeah. Let's just shock our world. Let's stir up light in the darkness. But you might say, well, the people of this world recognize Thanksgiving. After all, Thursday is Thanksgiving. And we're all going to come back to our tables and families. And, well, yeah, we do set a day apart for Thanksgiving. I just wonder how much Thanksgiving we do. How much giving of thanks actually goes on in that day? How many families are going to not say a prayer of thanks to God before they start eating on that day? I have no way of knowing, but you know, one of my pastimes is when we go to restaurants, I like to sit sort of looking out over the group, and every now and then you see somebody before the food gets there bow their head and give thanks. But you know, there's a lot of times it's just they come in, they're talking back and forth, and the food comes and they just start wolfing it down. No Thanksgiving at all. How much Thanksgiving will there be on Thanksgiving? And then, oh yeah, there'll be a float of Thanksgiving to God in the Macy's parade. Right? You're going to be watching the TV, and there's this float goes by, and it says, "Thank you, God, for everything." Man, I've been watching that parade for a lot of years. I can't remember ever seeing something like that. It's sad, isn't it? Oh, yeah, and then in the football game, I don't know who's playing this Thanksgiving, but I might flip it on sometime. Seems like it used to be Dallas and Detroit all the time. Was that true? Or anyway, we're going to turn on the football game, and there's going to be somewhere in the game the announcer's going to stop and say, you know, folks, God has really blessed our country. We need to stop and say thank you. So right now, 10 seconds of silence. Go out there in your heart and mind and say thank you to the God who's given all this to us. Well, I haven't watched all football games every year, but I don't remember ever hearing something like that. Do we really give thanks as a nation? Do we really give thanks as a people? See, the people of this world have a problem. To say thanks means you recognize that there's a God who's been good and kind to you, and we're sort of bowing the knee before him in gratitude. And they're not going to do that. They will not do that. See, Thanksgiving marks you and I out as believers, and the world sees that and recognizes that we're different. Maybe that's one of the reasons they hate us. You know, here's a great testimony. Once I was a whiner and complainer, and then I met Jesus, and now my lips are full of praise. What a great testimony that would be. Well, let's look at one more here. You knew I had another point because there's a lot of black up there on the... Yep, there's space for it. The Holy Spirit fires me up. He ignites me to say thanks. When he's in my heart and life, he leads me down the path of thanksgiving. Let me show you the context here of 1 Thessalonians 5. 18 and 19. So 18 says, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. And verse 19 starts off and says, do not put out the Spirit's fire. That's an amazing combination of verses, isn't it? So the Holy Spirit is inside of us, and he's stirring us up like you do a fire, so that we praise God. And here he's saying in verse 19, don't put out the Spirit's fire. He's stirring up thanksgiving in our hearts. Express it. Let it show. Don't stop it. Because the Holy Spirit is the source of our thanksgiving. See, thanksgiving is a supernatural event. It happens when God is involved in our lives. It certainly does not come out of the natural heart. Paul tells us in Romans 1, verse 21, for although they knew God, they neither glorified him as God nor gave thanks to him. That's the unbeliever. That's the man with the natural heart. But if you're truly rejoicing over your blessings, God's Holy Spirit's doing something in your heart and life. It's amazing to see. It appears again, I think, in Ephesians 5. Here's verse 18. It says, do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit. And that's a word that means be controlled by the Spirit. And then it goes on and says, this worship thing. Speak to one another with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Sing and make music in your heart to the Lord. And then always give thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. So the Holy Spirit's inside of us, and he's stirring up this storm of praise, and we just ought to let it out. It's his work, his words, his gratitude coming through us. So when we walk under the control of the Holy Spirit, thanksgiving is what we do. It's what we do. Well, I still got time to learn, I hope. But Scripture says, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. So here we have a master designer at work. The stuff that's coming into our life is for our good. He's making us. He's training us. Someday we'll, and maybe this is what happens at the judgment seat. He shows us that I was doing this in your life, and this is what I made. And it took this trial and this trouble and this path to get this made. And on that day, I'm sure we're going to be saying, thank you, Lord, but why don't we do it in advance? To say, God, I understand you're working in my life and you're really good at it, so have at it. And thank you for what I'm in right now. And it's God's will for our lives. God wants us to give thanks. It spotlights our testimony. When we start saying thank you, we start standing out like bright lights in a black world, a dark world. And then the Holy Spirit fires me up to thanksgiving. So God, this thing is really personal with God and with us. So he calls us to it. One writer says, we don't often thank God for our trials, heartaches, and difficulties. Although we are willing to praise him for his goodness, we sometimes fail to realize that even adverse circumstances are blessings in disguise. And then the story about Scottish preacher George Matheson, he had a problem. He realized that he was not ready to praise God when things went wrong as much as he was ready to praise God when things went right. However, there came a day when he began to lose his eyesight, and that caused him to change his thinking. Those writing his story said he struggled for some months with this weary burden until he reached the point where he could pray, my God, I have never thanked you for my thorn. I have thanked you 1,000 times for my roses, but not once for my thorn. I have been looking forward to a world where I shall get compensated for my cross, but I have never thought of my cross as itself a present glory. Teach me the value of my thorn. Maybe that's what we need to pray today. Lord, teach me to value my thorn. Well, perhaps as we go to prayer today, we ought to we maybe ought to confess the sin of ingratitude and complaining and whining about things that a good God put into our lives that's there to bless us and not bring us down. Maybe we need to confess those things, the lack of thankfulness in everything. So maybe we ought to bow our heads and just look around at our lives and say, thank you, Lord, for this hard thing you've put in my life, and thank you for what you're using it for. Why don't we do that? Let's bow our heads to prayer for just a moment, and you pray in your hearts and confess our lack of thanksgiving. And then, Lord, here's something I'm really struggling with, but I thank you that you sent it in my life. I'm going to trust you with this. Let's pray together, shall we? Father, thank you for the God thing that thanksgiving is in our hearts. Thank you that the Holy Spirit is there to stir it up. And he tells us not to put out that fire of thanksgiving, of blessing, of gratitude. So thank you for all the things that we have and the blessings that are ours. Even in those things it's hard to say is a blessing. Father, we confess to you that we have frequently not given thanks in everything. We confess it as a sin and as a lack of trust in who you are and what you do. So in this moment, we thank you. And in this hard area that we're facing and we have never said thanks, today we say thank you. May this week be a week filled with gratitude and thankfulness, and thank you for what you do. for your blessing on our lives. Bless us as we're with our families this week. May they be sweet times. May our families be connected more with Jesus because we're together. And we thank you for that. Now we come in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen.